fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 26th of July. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. The prepper tip of the day is to work on your physical fitness. If you have chronic issues, especially heart, lung issues, be sure and talk to your healthcare professional before doing anything strenuous. That's your prepper tip of the day. This morning we have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest more than 36 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Communist Conspiracy. His website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. Leon is held over from the first hour, and good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Your current article, which was published the 19th of July at your website, jrnyquist.blog, the title of it is The Inversion of Jordan Peterson. And you give a couple of quotes here. First, you quote Jordan Peterson. The quotation is, "We cannot do without the Russians on our side." And the quotation below that is from Anatoly Golitsyn. "The feigned disunity of the communist world promotes real disunity in the non-communist world." First of all, and I should mention also, we have Steve O'Neill with us. Good morning, Steve. Hold on, please. Who in the world is Jordan Peterson? Is he some kind of celebrity or music personality or rock star? Who is this guy?
He's the most famous academic in the world right now. For a few years, he's been.
Academic. Is he associated with a university someplace?
He was at the University of Toronto. He left it, but he was a person who was stood up against gender, as I explained in the article. If you read the article, he was he became internationally famous for standing up against gender, non-binary gender pronouns that were being.
Oh yes, now I okay. I didn't read the whole article, but now I recognize who this guy is. So good for him. Good for him. I'm glad to hear that.
He stood up against the Marxists in the university and stuff, but he he did an hour and almost an hour, 50 something minute video about the Ukraine war. He's a psychologist. He works in psychology. He's not a political scientist or anything, although he has a bachelor's degree in political science. He studied in another field. He made this really long video about the Ukraine war in which he made certain statements. So I analyzed his video, and this is my basic response. It's
okay.
Given his past statements, his video is rather shocking.
I would say so. And we'll say good morning to Steve O'Neill, nuclear scientist and living in the outback of Missouri. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, John.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, this is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable, and we have typically wide-ranging discussions, to say the least. We're going to give Jeff Nyquist his head here to get started with this discussion. Mr. Jordan Peterson gained international notoriety because he stood up to the Marxist theology concerning the use of pronouns to be descriptors of people who don't want to be...
non-binary gender pronouns.
Non-binary gender pronouns. Oh, explain exactly what that means, sir.
It means that there are not two sexes. There's like, I don't know, 50-something sexes according to the neo-Marxists in the university. And you are supposed to... Some people might have the gender pronoun. You know, gender pronoun is like he, she, right? Her, him. And they might want to be called they or them, you know, or the, or, you know, some other pronoun.
Well, there's a, and we're educating ourselves here. There's a phenomenon where it's mostly women. I don't know if anybody but American women do this, who believe that they are cats to the point where they need to relieve themselves in a litter box instead of a toilet. Do they fit into this non-binary pronoun thing, or are they a special category? I don't have a clue.
No, this has to do with what they call gender.
Okay.
Supposedly, see, it's not just male, female. See, there's all these other genders.
Right.
And maybe, and for example, I'm a man who identifies as a woman, right? Or I'm a woman who identifies as a woman who is actually a man because I've had a sex change operation.
Okay. This is total confusion. It's kind of off the track, but it does explain who Jordan Peterson is, and he was challenging that. Was he fired from the university because he was challenging this?
Well, they were going to, but he got so much publicity, they weren't really able to. And he became ill after a couple of years, and of course he became so famous that he didn't really need the job anymore. So he left to do podcasting and to do public speaking full time.
Well, I say good for him.
Yeah,
I say good for him. Okay, well, let's do a segue here on this into the general topic of Russia and China, who should support who, the real agenda of what's going on in Ukraine. I know you're probably keeping closer track of what's going on in Ukraine and the war there than I am. Do you have any updates on the war in Ukraine, Jeff?
Well, for the last 8 days overall, the Ukrainians have been gaining ground, very small amounts, but the Russians have been basically unable to really push back. The Russians are, you know, on their heels right now. The Ukrainian HIMARS have destroyed a lot of the Russian ammunition stockpiles, and that has hurt their ability to launch their artillery attacks. There are some reports that the Russians have some new units that are coming up to the front, but so far we've seen hardly anything. The Russians have had to evacuate their military bases, their naval bases in Crimea. They've moved a lot of the ships to east of the Kerch Straits.
What I was always told, Jeff, is that the Russians military is in love with artillery and have been since the 19th century. I've seen photographs of Russian artillery from the 19th century. Some of the biggest cannons that human beings have ever built was to use black powder. And apparently the Russians still love their artillery, which includes rockets, of course, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, the Russians have always had a difficulty developing their air arm because their opponent, of course, their military was designed to fight NATO. So NATO's doctrine is to get air supremacy and to use aircraft for strikes.
Right.
Didn't believe they could. Their doctrine was then to suppress NATO's air, to keep NATO from getting that air supremacy with a combination of their own aircraft and surface to air missile systems and anti-aircraft systems, and to use artillery for their strike arm, both rocket artillery and, you know, regular conventional artillery. So that's why they have so much, because that's their way of striking. That's their strike arm.
Exactly. Gentlemen, we got our first caller here. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I sent an email to Mr. Nyquist. It concerns just what exactly is the situation of Russia and how they are, and just what they're up against. At this point, I put it that Putin is between a rock and a hard place, and he cannot admit defeat, withdraw without committing political suicide, but he cannot continue the war indefinitely without converting much, if not most, of the Russian economy to a war economy and divert a significant amount away from an already increasingly deprived Russian populace and institute crash conscription with crash training of conscripted troops, some of which already and they're being sent into combat with as little as 30 days of training. The Russian armed forces' only real remaining assets on the conventional forces are their artillery, particularly self-propelled artillery, as their best armored and mobile forces were eliminated and in the first weeks of the war and have not been rebuilt. The artillery has range, but for lack of training and modernization, the artillery is inaccurate, so the Russians have been had to resort to saturation area bombardment of small concentrated areas with thousands of shells, sometimes without regard to where enemy positions are in that area, just destroy everything or kill anyone or destroy anything by this tactic.
John, you're reading from something. You're boring our audience. Do you have a question for Jeff, sir?
Yes. What they're doing is what are their, what right now are their options? For one thing, they have...
is that your question? Let's get your question.
They're trying to do an economic, I guess, subversion of the West by creating a new reserve currency, I understand, with the Chinese. But what can they do right now, considering that they are kind of between this rock and this hard place, and that the Chinese are not willing to put boots on the ground in Ukraine, and also that their one reliable ally, Belarus, is not capable of sustaining itself in combat. What can they do?
Okay, so your question to Jeff is, what can Russia do now? Is that your question?
Yes. What are their options?
Okay. Go ahead, Jeff, if you got a response.
He went to Iran, and one of the things he wanted is the Iranians had copied and were manufacturing an American drone that had crashed. And he was wanting to get Iranians to give him the drones that they're manufacturing. That's one of the things they can do. They can go to their allies, the Chinese or the Iranians, to try to give them things. There was the Wang, Mr. Wang of Luda Media has said that there are factories in Inner Mongolia that are producing tanks and other equipment that the Russians could use. I know by satellite, some people that I was, you know, consulting, they had spotted one train with what looked like Chinese military equipment, but nobody's seen large amounts of it. There's a rumor that some of this newer equipment is being brought up to the front, but we'll have to see. So Russia has to rely on its allies. And it's also, there was a study done, I didn't read it, I heard about it yesterday, that Russia is suffering manpower shortages in the front because their casualties have been high. And so, you know, trying to replace men, there's been, you know, a sort of a secret mobilization that has been speculated about by some observers, that they've been using some of the powers that Putin has gotten to have call up reservists that they could man new units. But of course, they've been having heavy casualties all along. And so it's uncertain whether they've been able to fill up all their units. It seems that I think the consensus opinion of military analysts in NATO is that they haven't been able to fill up their units. So there's some concern that Russia will use illegal weapons, so to speak, like vacuum bombs, thermobaric bombs, or that they'll resort to their tactical nuclear weapons. And this second one is a concern. Monkey Works, which is not entirely reliable in what they say, and this is a complicated subject, they reported last week that the Russian submarine force, that all the submarines were at sea. But the Russians have done these submarine surges, and the submarines often come back to port pretty quickly. So they may not have all of them at sea, but Monkey Works has reported that they have all 70 at sea. If they do, if they really are deploying on the East Coast and the West Coast and up against the NATO countries, it's a pretty serious, you know, it's like putting a gun to somebody's head. So that could be serious.
Okay. John, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Steve O'Neill a little bit. Steve, quick question. How's your new homestead coming along, sir?
Busier than ever. I really am off on the temperature hold again today, actually on a morning walk, and before I deal with the lumber companies and so forth. Everything's on a war footing here. Got to get it done.
Right. What's your timeline? Do you have a drop-dead date you want to be finished by, or is that kind of loose?
Well, finished is a relative term, of course. But there some things have to be operational this fall. I don't want to be in a bad position come first quarter of 23. I guarantee you that. This fall.
Okay. I got a question for you. Will you be heating your new home with wood?
I have 4 wood stoves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, understood. Well, wood is what I would say at least half the homes in the Ozarks are heated with wood. Would that be a fair statement?
Probably. Well, I don't know, but a lot.
A lot. Yeah, a lot. Well, that's given. Well, if you're ever in the market for another wood stove, you really need to check out the Liberator Rocket Heater, 99.5% efficient. And do any of your 4 wood stoves burn outside air for combustion, sir?
They can if necessary. Efficiency just doesn't matter worth a damn because I've got so much firewood, it's not even funny. And these are 75% anyway. They're Vermont castings. And two of them.
Well, Vermont Castings is a good brand. You're certainly right. Yeah, we have a break. Good. Hold on, Steve. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadrepreciousmetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday. It is Tuesday, the 26th of July. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. You want to protect your car, your spouse's car, the automobile of that youngster off to college, the same way the Department of Defense does. Get your EMP Shield device with a $50 discount at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Leon Green, a former U.S. Navy officer. We have Steve O'Neill, nuclear scientist. And we have Jeff Nyquist, his website, jrnyquist.blog, his book for sale at amazon.com. And we're getting an update from Steve on his homestead. All four of us are preppers to a greater or lesser extent. And Steve, your timeline is to be as ready as you can be in less than 6 months before the 1st of January. Is that somewhat accurate, sir?
Roughly, yeah. That's probably valid, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Before winter anyway, and in the events of next year.
Roger that. Tell us, we'll get response from Jeff and Leon as well. Your greenhouse or gardening preparations, what are those?
They're way behind schedule. I'm afraid I haven't had time to do any of that. I'm trying to get infrastructure in right now, and those will have to be next year.
Greenhouse
will be important, of course. But,
I understand.
These things are, this is all somewhat mundane. Just you got to get that stuff together and become self-sustaining.
So when the other things are complete and you're ready to commence with the greenhouse part of it, what's that going to look like?
I'm not sure. It may be part of the house. Some people will do a hot room like that, and it could be quite handy if it's integrated with your building. I may do that. It's a little easier to do that way, less expensive. The real concern is the fact that we may have serious trouble from here on growing stuff outdoors. Never mind in winter.
Probably
as much glass as I can get. That's the best thing.
Understood. Well, let's move on to Jeff. Jeff's in the frozen Northland, as I refer to it, up in Michigan. And you have pretty serious winters up there, don't you, Jeff?
Well, they can be.
And you're not in the Upper Peninsula, though, are you?
No.
Okay. Well, that's where the really bad winter is. I've heard about people's roofs collapsing under the weight of the snow up there up in the Upper Peninsula. But in Michigan in general, winters are a lot more severe than they are here in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks. And what farm of heat do you use? Do you have more than one farm? Tell us, sir.
Yeah, we have pellet heat and gas, of course. And we have electric heaters. But
So you got three forms of heat that you can use, it's good to have backups, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good to have backups.
It is absolutely good to have backups. And Leon, what forms of heat do you have?
We have propane right now that has to get modified, and I picked up 7 tons of wood cutoffs from all the oak mills nearby, so they're already seasoned and air kiln. So I'm already ready to go. We have 50 acres of trees, so we have enough trees to actually have a sawmill ourselves for barter and for generating income. And so, and then 2 stoves. So we just have to get the infrastructure done so we can, so we can actually put it in and punch the hole through the roof and get the chimney in there. So those are the main things. And we do have electric heaters, but obviously with all these brownouts due to EV vehicles, it's just going to get worse. So those are backups.
All right. So you have wood and electric and any other type of heat?
Yep. Propane.
Propane. Okay. Well, I've got basically the same thing: wood and propane and electric. 2 types of propane: a forced air furnace and space heaters. Yep. Looks like we have with us. John in Tennessee. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Jeff and Leon. And I'm sorry, your other scientist, I don't remember his name.
But Steve O'Neill. Steve O'Neill's not with us
okay,
at the moment.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know. Okay, well, I wanted to go back, if you don't mind, to Jordan Peterson a little bit. I've been listening to him for several years. I want to give you some credentials, his education and background, if you don't mind, because
well,
Jeff made
on.
It sound as though...
After the break.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wood, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. And we have articles published there you'll find nowhere else. My friend Steve O'Neill, his articles are published nowhere else on the internet except at thelibertyman.com. His intended audience are the powers that be. We don't know if we're reaching them, but we certainly have a good possibility that we are. Other products there that you'll find no place else. The Liberator Rocket Heater, difficult to find anywhere except at thelibertyman.com. I'm the only person other than Professor McCanny who sells the wing generator. Jim doesn't work with anybody else to do that. And, of course, the energy cleaner. I am the only place on the internet, as far as I know, you can find the energy cleaner, the mattress pads that go with it, the micro plush throws. If you're tired of being tired, what are you waiting for? If the pain is getting you down, what are you waiting for? The arthritis pain and any kind of pain. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. Details at my website. You can read up the testimonials of people we know like Steve Whitman about how the energy cleaner works. You can place your order right there using PayPal for your energy cleaner, your mattress pad, Or you can call my toll-free hour line 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. At the moment, the Tuesday Morning Roundtable has Leon Green with us, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at Amazon. Steve O'Neill did not have a very good connection. We haven't heard from Steve Benoon. He may be with us. And, John, you got a question or a clarification? John from Tennessee, go ahead.
Yeah, clarification, just a little bit of Dr. Jordan Peterson's qualifications. Studied at the University of Alberta and McGill, received degrees in both. He's a doctorate in psychology, five-year associate professorship at Harvard University Psychology Department before moving to the University of Toronto, where he's employed. Harvard University and the University of Toronto are widely considered two of the top research institutions in the world. Okay, now they've got something that they call the H score that measures a person's acceptability among their peers. Most Nobel laureates, John, let me read this to you. Okay, Jordan Peterson's got a 51. The H level says most Nobel laureates have a 60 or 61. Outstanding is 40. Successful is 20. Average is 10. Jordan Peterson's a 51. If you've ever heard him speak, it's amazing. The man is highly intelligent, by means no idiot. So let me ask you, Jeff, do you have an H score? If so, what is it?
I don't have an H score. Why would I have an H score?
Well, you soft-pedaled it and made him sound like he's a kook because he doesn't...
No, John, I need to step in here.
Yes, you did.
No, he didn't. John, you're done. You're finished. No, we're not going to take any more calls from John from Tennessee while Mr. Nyquist is on, because he just goes in directions that don't need to be gone to. He misquotes Jeff Nyquist. Jeff held Mr. Peterson's credentials in high regard while saying at the same time he lacked credentials in the area of expertise concerning Russia, China, United States. Is that somewhat accurate, Jeff, what I just said?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I wasn't saying anything bad about it. I know all those.
You didn't say a word bad about Mr. Peterson. Not a word bad.
Credentials. No, I followed him ever since he became famous. I admire his stand against the campus Marxists. He's been a very positive person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm not going to tolerate people misquoting my guests, giving my guests trouble that is not warranted. If my guest says something that is improper or wrong, we will scrutinize it. But if you misquote my guests and say things that aren't true, you're done. It's just not going to proceed. So let's go back to our general discussion about preparedness. And let's just go to something pretty mundane, such as preparing for the winter. Now, Jeff, how do you heat your home this coming winter, sir?
Well, like I said before, we have a pellet stove. We have a fireplace, so we do have logs. I forgot about that. And, of course, we have electric floor heaters, and the house is heated with gas mostly.
Okay, so you have is it propane or natural gas?
It's natural gas.
Natural gas, a fireplace, a pellet-burning stove. And sounds like you're all set. Do you also put in a supply of bags of pellets, I assume, before winter as well?
Yeah, you get pellets. Yeah. The big concern is the pellet stove needs electricity to run, so you need a backup generator.
Roger that. Yeah. Well, the Liberator rocket heater has no electric blower and does not require or use electricity. It's very efficient. So it looks like all three of us are pretty well squared away for this coming winter. The point being, ladies and gentlemen, I want everybody to be ready for this coming winter. And I would encourage the following exercise. Look at your bills for heating your home last winter. Bills for buying firewood, if you buy firewood. Bills for propane, natural gas, electricity. Heating oil. There's lots of ways to heat a home. And then multiply that times whatever the increased cost is going to be. And Jeff, without any doubt, there's going to be increased cost in fuels for this coming winter, aren't there, sir?
Well, natural gas in the United States, it depends on how what the government does. If the government is against, you know, using fossil fuels, so-called, they could cause it to increase. But the U.S. has a tremendous store of natural gas, and so we shouldn't have higher prices. Oil, the thing is that there's been a shift in where the oil-producing countries are moving their oil. They're moving their oil to China and of course, to India. They're trying to limit energy supplies going to NATO countries.
Would it be a fair statement to say that the sanctions by Western countries, NATO countries against Russia, attempting to hurt Russia and punish Russia, have instead made Russia richer and hurt the countries that impose the sanctions? Would that be a somewhat accurate statement, Jeff?
I think it's more accurate to say both Russia and the West are hurting in different ways, and China's involved in this too. China's trying to disrupt their supply chain, which is might be a more of a concern in the short run. The real problem is in Europe, where the gas supplies have been limited. Russia's only giving its NATO customers enough oil to get by day to day, but enough natural gas to get by day to day, but not to stockpile for winter. So this is a big concern, how they're going to get through winter. There's expert opinion that differs about how this is going to work out, because the West is trying to adjust and find other sources, like to open coal plants or whatnot. But it's pretty serious in Europe. In North America here, we have a much greater independence in terms of especially natural gas, which we could export if we develop the capacity, and oil, as long as our own government doesn't restrict it. We should be okay, but Europe, it's really a very serious problem. And of course, Russia is has an abundance of natural resources. So Russia can't. It's not like anybody can cut off their natural resources, and so they put their ruble on a gold backing, and it's strengthened their currency. They have suffered some inflation, and of course they've been cut off from certain Western suppliers. But the West, in terms of energy, and of course Africa and the Middle East in terms of food, there's a serious potential crisis going on now.
Africa in terms of food, what's the deal with Africa and food, sir?
Well, there's 40 million people in danger of starving, and it may go up to almost a billion people in danger of starving.
In Africa?
Well, Africa and the Middle East largely get their food from Russia and Ukraine. And a lot of that Russia is not exporting, and Ukraine, because of the blockade of Odessa, is not exporting.
Well, Rhodesia, which is now called Zimbabwe, before the Marxist communists took over, helped feed a large part of the African continent, didn't they, sir?
Well, yeah, Rhodesia is an agricultural country, and the white farmers were producing most of the food.
And yes. That's over. It's not completely over, but largely over, isn't it?
Yeah, they were expropriating the white farmers that stayed. I know one whose family left. So even at the time when Rhodesia became Zimbabwe, there were white farmers that left then. But yeah, they've pretty much damaged their own agriculture. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the status of South Africa in terms of agriculture and what the communists have done, have caused harm there. But on one hand, on the other, the Chinese are heavily involved in sub-Saharan Africa in general, aren't they, sir?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, moving on from there, any updates on your sources from China and what China, the People's Liberation Army, is planning to do, if you have any, sir?
The Chinese have, of course, you had the U.S.'s Ronald Reagan that was that was going to make a port call in Da Nang, and it went to Singapore instead. The Chinese had this snap exercise. They moved some core headquarters, which was interesting. Not sure what that's about. They moved them further away from Taiwan. So there's been some interesting movements and deployments. I was talking to some people yesterday. Nobody really knows what it means. And Luda Media has not changed their predictions yet about what they're pointing to the 1st of August. We'll see if that, if their sources are correct on that. But the tensions are still there.
Absolutely. Well, these updates from China, they don't necessarily happen every week, do they, sir?
No, I mean, things are moving slowly. The Chinese are again doing some of these ship fixes. We can't verify all of them. Like I said, I spoke to a military officer stationed in the Pacific, U.S. military officer, talking about they're just hoping the Chinese realize that their military is not quite as capable as they may think, because they're using Russian doctrine and Russian tactics and, you know, the Russian playbook, and the Russians have proven to be unable to win in Ukraine, and that might, you know, if they are thinking of invading Taiwan, that might deter them.
Absolutely. Well, Leon, you're the former U.S. Navy officer, and you've seen what's been going on with China creating islands, artificial islands that have become naval bases and airports. How does that fit into doctrine for the U.S. Navy in the South China Sea in those areas, sir?
I mean, Spratly Islands and the other islands they've built, you know, in essence, they're little aircraft carriers that don't move. I mean, and they've sent billions of dollars, and I guess because they were behind us technologically, you know, they would try to retro engineer a lot of the things that we have. But in this case, it's simpler for them just to get a shallow reef and just start pouring dirt and do the infrastructure and build that way. And so, but what is crazy is that they're just claiming that this is new land, and therefore those, you know, their territorial rights of 12 miles, you know, extend to theirs, and they just keep expanding. And so, you know, at what point do we just tell them, you know, the whole world says you just can't build out in the middle of the ocean and just take over the whole world. And so, the Navy has had to deal with that. And, you know, we get the pushback and we get the flyovers and we get the flybys that are too close. And, you know, it's almost like all the other things the Navy's used as a way to start a war. So USS Maine, the Tonkin, USS Liberty, we can just go down the list of how, you know, they say, well, they shot this ship and Americans were on board, and therefore we have to start a war. And so it is a strong arm of diplomacy, but it can also be used in a very negative light. And that, we've seen that many, many times.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, we got a couple of callers on hold. First, we have Pat in Texas. Good morning, Pat.
Hi. I wanted to ask Jeff what he thinks about Russia making a deal that they would let all these other country ships come in and get that grain, and then they bombed them. And they had to put the, yesterday, I think, they had to put out the fires on the ships, and they said if they don't get their wheat out of those silos, it may go bad. So it's 400 million people that they could feed, but Russia doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. They apparently had some kind of deal, and then the Russians did missile strikes on Odessa, which is the port from which the grain would be shipped out. So I did talk to some people last week, one of whom was a NATO official, and they were hopeful that there would be, you know, the shipments would go out. So, it's when you look at the history of Russian behavior, it's not It's not out of character, I would say.
I don't know how anybody could be on their side, because whatever they'll do to them, they'll do to us. Or anybody.
Well, that's the fear. Yeah, because they are. Russia's threatened nuclear war against various countries, destroy Britain, nuke the U.S., nuke NATO bases. You know, they've threatened Sweden for wanting to join NATO and threatened Finland. They've threatened Poland. You know, it's not a very smart. You know, I'm a fan of Sergei Lavrov, and I know he's smarter than that. It's got to be coming from somewhere else.
Hold on, Jeff. We'll wrap up your comments after this break. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Paper money will destroy America. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. In 1791, Thomas Paine blamed paper money for England's financial problems. Paper money was partially to blame for Shays' Rebellion and the U.S. money problems between the Articles of Confederation and the U.S. Constitution. James Madison fought against paper money for his entire political career. Paper money has caused the collapse of countries and empires worldwide for centuries, and our founding fathers knew that. No currency without a physical backing can last forever. No country can pile up debt and spend forever. The Federal Reserve, bankers, and politicians all know these facts. So why then has the U.S. been piling up trillions in debt on paper money for over 100 years? They're all just hoping to die rich before the collapse. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Jeff, please continue with your response for Pat, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was finished.
You know. Okay. All right. Pat, do you have a further comment or question?
Well, I was thinking about how when Trump was first in, that there was all that problem in Syria, you know, and Israel got mad because Iran, under probably Hezbollah or whoever they hire, had a building full of weapons and, right near the airport, international airport, and near Israel. And they said, you promised not to do this so close to us. And they went in and they took out that building. I mean, you'd have to look at both of the scenes to see what they had done, but it's just gone. And well, why can't Russia do it that way? Why do they have to tear up everything, everywhere everybody lives and everything? It's crazy. All right, that's all I want to say. Thanks.
Okay. Jeff, you got any response to her last comment there?
Yeah, I think everybody, a lot of people are shocked at the Russian use of artillery to, you know, the destruction of Mariupol, the massive destruction that's been done in Kharkiv, the missile strikes on Odessa and Kiev and other locations. It's we haven't seen this kind of use of firepower since World War II. This was very common. World War II method is to really heavily damage towns and surrounding infrastructure by bombardment. Right. The U.S. used precision weapons, which avoided a lot of that in our wars, but Russia apparently doesn't have effective precision weapons.
All right. Our next caller is Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
John, good morning, Jeff. I just wanted to ask you, Jeff, you said that the Russians were losing, the Ukrainians were gaining ground. Is that what you said, and that they were advancing, and that Russia was kind of in a stage of not making any advances right now?
In the last 8 days, overall, I mean, the Russians make little advances here and the Ukrainians make little advances here. The net territory gain over the last 8 days has been on the Ukrainian side, yes.
No, really? Where and how?
What do you mean, where and how?
Yeah, where have the Ukrainians made an advance?
Around
only one spot. One geographical area.
Around Kherson.
Where?
Around Kherson.
And give me an example.
What do you mean, give you an example?
Well, are you talking about where they damaged three bridges over there with HIMARS? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
I need a little more specific information from you.
I didn't talk about bridges.
Well, you know, the only advance that they've made that the media that I know of has been talking about are these bridges that were supposedly damaged, which won't allow which they claim will keep Russia from being able to resupply with their artillery. And you did mention that the Russians were running out of artillery, so I'm kind of making a jump here. Okay, well, those bridges were, if you look at it, they weren't damaged to, they were just, They're still usable. So the Ukrainians made no advances there. And
okay.
As far
we'll get back to this conversation after the break.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.